Thank you for attending the Lord's church this morning. There are many believers around the country that are sitting in the pews just like you are, and they are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And then we are reminded through the Scriptures and the preaching of the Word, what is our obligation? What are we to do? We are to respond in service to the Lord. No, it doesn't save us. That service doesn't save us. Only the blood of Christ, only the giving of His body saves us and our faith in that. But nonetheless, out of that, out of our love for Him comes the service that we seek to give. Amen? So we're going to think about that today. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. The theme of the book of Hebrews, as you may know, is the superiority of Christ, the superior sacrifice, the superior priest, the superior servant. Everything about Jesus is better. That's the whole theme. He's better, better in all regards. When it comes to bridging the gap between the holy God of all creation and the people that He created, the people who chose to become sinners, He is the only remedy. He is the only bridge over that gap. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only remedy for the sin of humanity, which God will accept. That's all there is. That's why we worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to Him now. Father, we do give You praise and glory, knowing that You were the answer to our sin problem. Without You, without Your obedience to the Father, without the giving of Your body and the shedding of Your blood, there would have been no forgiveness. We thank You, Father, for the great plan of salvation that was instrumental, put into motion by the Godhead, that we could be at one with our Creator God and know the love and the fellowship with Him that we desire. Lord, be with us now as we talk about these things and decide, Lord, how are we going to demonstrate our love for You? How are we going to manifest that? It's not just out of a sense of duty, Lord, but it is out of a sense of love and peace with You. So help us, Lord, to do those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The writer of Hebrews observed in verse 25 that many of his readers who professed to be Christians were throwing away their trust in the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." Some had decided that getting together with believers in the name of the Lord and fellowshipping with Him in a congregation was just not that important. And so they were forsaking that fellowship. Persecution, hardship, even family matters may have led some to give up meeting together. The solution, though, was simple. Start meeting together. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints. That is the simple solution. Regular, real life, day-to-day fellowship with other Christians is an essential part of Christian growth and perseverance. We often need the help of each other to deal with what the world throws at us. And we need a good, strong fellowship in the Lord to help with that. That's why we gather. That's why we assemble. Yes, we praise the Lord. We give Him thanks and glory. But we need that encouragement that He gives and that we give to one another. Amen? Believers must meet regularly and consistently to give support and receive encouragement. It works both ways, doesn't it? We need that for each of us to walk in the Spirit. you find it an easy thing to do in the world to walk in the Spirit and be obedient to all the things that we know we should be doing for the Lord? No, it's not an easy thing. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to us. But we have the power to meet that challenge, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit living and working in us, guiding us. And so there's no reason to say we can't do it. It can't be done. It can be done in the Lord. Amen? So praise God that we can walk with each other in the Spirit and encourage one another. Early believers were devoted to meeting daily in their homes, for teaching, fellowship, worship, eating meals together, sharing in the Lord's Supper together like we just did, and praying together. They met nearly daily to do those things. Scripture says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It was a joyful thing to come together. It wasn't a burden. It was something they looked forward to, and they really didn't want to miss it. Yes, their lifestyle was quite different from what ours is today. Today, we must go the extra mile to fellowship with one another. We don't live in those small villages and walk from place to place and encounter each other on the road. No, we're in our own vehicles. We're going here and there in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Every now and then we run into each other somewhere, maybe at the grocery store, the hardware store, somewhere like that. But that's not the norm, is it? It's not the norm. We meet most regularly when we are meeting just like this. But we could meet more often, couldn't we? We would have to make it a priority. So we must go the extra mile to make regular, consistent encouragement. That's why we're meeting with one another, to encourage one another. We all know it's a hard walk. It's tough out there in the world. We need encouragement from one another. And that's why we're meeting. We need the support of our prayers and our good wishes and how to deal with things that we're not quite sure about. A spirit of mutual consideration and cooperation permeated the early church. They came together and considered each other's needs and how they could solve those needs. And they met regularly to do that, both material needs and spiritual needs. They took care of both. Hebrews 10:24 states this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We're to stir up love and good works. We're to encourage one another to those things, right? So if there's any kind of a difficulty, we talk those things out. We pray about them together. We get the Lord involved and the Holy Spirit, and we take care of that business, don't we? We all know that good works is not the pathway to Christ or His eternal glory. Amen. No, that's not the where it's at. The focus of this verse, verse 24, considering one another in order to stir up good works, is not just about good works, although they comprise part of the evidence for our salvation. If we truly believe, we're going to follow the Lord and try to do those things that He would encourage us to do. We talked about that in Bible study this morning. WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's a simple phrase that you can have on your mind quite often, and you can get an idea of which way you should be going if you're confronted with something. The key word in that verse, and here's the verse again, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The key word and focus of that verse is the word consider. Consider. It's not about the works. It's about looking out for each other, considering one another and how we can lift each other up. Considering others means being aware of and acting on the needs of others, even putting those needs ahead of our own. Sometimes we're called to do that. In Philippians 2:4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." That's considering others, looking out for others. Looking to the interest of others is how we take action. Action to consider and care for one another. Yesterday at the men's meeting, I let the men know, hey, the slide on the play set out in the back had a big hole in it. It was really kind of dangerous. And I made them aware of it. Before we left yesterday, there were two sets of slides sitting there waiting to be swapped out with the one that was broken down. We considered the need and met that need. That's what we're to be doing for one another as we go through this life. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Considering and caring for one another. We must go beyond, what do I need? What do I need? That's not the end of the road. We must include this, what do my believing spiritual family members need? Where can I help? Where can I be of use? How can I meet some of their needs? What this really is God calling us to a higher standard. He wants us to follow His ways to encourage and stir up one another to demonstrate more love and good works. What's the main thing we hear about this congregation when new people come? How loving it is. Yes, it is. It's a loving, caring congregation. But we could go further. Amen. We can go further. That was from Hebrews 10:24. To stir up someone is to light a fire within them to true faith. True faith, which is to follow Christ's example of love, humility, sacrifice, and action for others. Action for others. Think about the life of Jesus. Think about all the things He did. How many of those things did He do for Himself as He went through life? He was always doing things for others, wasn't He? And what was His motivation? He was stirred up by the Father. He was serving the Father and obeying the Father, showing the love, the grace, the mercy of God. And that's what we should be also about. This is shown in Philippians 2:5 through 11. Speaking of Christ, it says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them. That's speaking about the sacrificial system that they had in the temple. That God really, that's not exactly what He wanted. He wanted a heartfelt love of service that from the people. And so it goes on to say this, you did not desire and had pleasure in them. Then Christ said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Well, what is God's will? To show His love and care and His desire to redeem us back into His family. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He, Christ, takes away the first. The first was the sacrificial system. He took that away. How did He do that? He offered Himself in place of that sacrificial system. He established it that He may establish the second, which was His personal sacrifice for us. No longer using the blood and the bodies of sheep and bulls and the rams, they didn't do that anymore. No, it was all about Christ and His one-time sacrifice that covered all of the sin that we were exhibiting. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. How often? Once and for all. Once and for all. His death, His shed blood was sufficient for all eternity. And that's why we trust in Him and worship Him. You see, it's Christ's self-sacrifice of His body, of His position, of His rights for the benefit of others that redeemed us. Christ considered humanity. He thought about our needs following the Father's dictates, and He took care of those by His sacrifice. He did what was best for us, leading us to His obedience to God. We should be obeying Him just as He obeyed the Father. That's what obedience really is, when you get right down to it. His action of obedience to sacrifice Himself, bringing grace to the world. That was God's grace that He gave so we could be at one with God and with Christ. When we consider others, we sacrifice for each other, imitating and becoming a living sacrifice, just like Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Become a living sacrifice. No, we're not dying. We're not sacrificing ourselves to death. We're sacrificing ourselves to life, to a life imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He wants us to do. So the gospel goes out, and we are living examples of the gospel of Christ. Amen? Love and good works don't save. We know that, don't we? But they are practical expressions of saving faith. If we claim that we have faith in Jesus, we should be exhibiting those traits of considering others and doing things to help them. Help them to find the Lord Jesus Christ and life in Him. Amen? Faith without works, without expressions of genuine faith, is dead. Those are really the words of Brother James in his book in chapter 2 and verse 26. Faith without works is dead. We need to be living for Christ and demonstrating the mercy and the care and the sacrifice of Jesus. Love and good works then should flow from our faith, our life in Christ, walking in the Spirit. Now, we like to pride ourselves in the fact that we feel like we do a pretty good job of that here. But we can go further, can't we? Self-reflection is good, but that self-reflection should also reveal the places where we can do better. We can be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So then, how can we stir, motivate, and encourage one another to love and good works? How can we consider one another in how we are motivating each other? Considering one another begins with cultivating relationships. That's why we meet together, to cultivate those relationships. How are you going to consider what somebody has need of if you don't meet with them enough to know anything about them? You must know one another. We must come out of that shell, that bubble that we all like to stay in. And we only want to share so much, and that's it. But we don't get the full benefit of the body of Christ when we do that. We don't get the full love and mercy and grace that's intended through the body of Christ. Without regular fellowship, we cannot stir one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of the saints. Since we are God's family, we must know each other personally. Think of your own family, how well you know each other. You can probably complete each other's sentences by now, right? We need to know each other personally so we can bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. If we are not present in each other's lives, how can we fulfill the law of Christ and consider each other's needs by bearing each other's burdens? That's the law of Christ. We're to be bearing each other's burdens. A community like this does not form accidentally or spontaneously. It doesn't just happen. Somebody has to catch the vision, catch the Holy Spirit, decide they're going to go all out and serve the Lord and start promoting gathering together and getting to know one another. Begin congregating so that you can meet each other's needs. Therefore, we must make space for others and seek opportunities to encourage them. Encourage them. Stir them up to come and be part of the fellowship of the body of Christ. That's really what we're inviting them to do. Become part of His body. Don't worry about if you don't know how or not. We have the guidebook right here, don't we? The biggest challenge is living by it. Living by it. Because we have this old shell that is always cutting in and getting in on the act. And so we have to find out how to deal with all that. Amen?
Amen.
Without regular fellowship, we cannot stir one another to love and good works. Not forsaking this. Since we are God's family, we must know each other personally and bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Do we do that? Somewhat. Can we do better? Of course we can. Of course we can. We must make space for others to stir them up, and that will also stir us up. When you get new people in, it stirs us up because we want to fellowship and we want to know what they know about the Lord and share with one another. Amen? Frankly, with them offering and encouraging the words of Scripture to support and stir us all up to serving the Lord Jesus. In Romans 12:10, Paul instructs us to stir up others by what? Sharing love. Sharing love. He writes this, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Honoring one another and considering one another are related. We should respect everyone as being in the image of God. In the image of God. As humanity was created in God's image. You go back to Genesis, that's how we were created in His image. Considering one another means caring for others in a way that motivates them to trust and obey God. You fellowship, you learn to trust and obey God. You are positive. You are a positive effect on people. That's why when something negative comes up, we need to settle it right away. Don't let it fester. Take care of it. Go to a person and get it straightened out. We don't need any negativity. The world gives us enough of that, doesn't it? We come here to be refreshed. We come here to be loved. We come here to be encouraged in Christ. So I hope I'm not being too negative this morning. I just want us to know the Lord loves us. He expects us to continue on for Him and consider one another and motivate one another to trust and obey Him, obey His Word. Hebrews 10:24 is a command for the whole church. Every one of us. No one left out. If you're claiming the name of Christ, this command is for you. And it is to consider one another. Be aware of one another. Scripture says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we're to be doing. Stir up love and good works. God did not call us to be isolated. We need each other and should actively be concerned with each other's lives. That's why we let each other know when something negative happens to us. We get sick, we have to go to the hospital. We can serve one another and love and help each other get through the challenge that we're facing. Amen? For this reason, the writer of Hebrews tells us not to neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now. Why now? Because we're closer than ever to the Lord's return. Every moment we're here, we're closer, right?
Amen.
We don't know when that's going to happen. So we need to show this love and encouragement. Christian fellowship provides us with encouragement and motivation, the opportunity to consider one another. That's what we should be doing. So when we hear that something's going on with somebody, find out what you can do to help. Enlist others into the project and get moving on it. Amen? Paul describes the church as the body of Christ with individual members contributing to the whole. I don't have time to go out and fix that slide and work on that slide and stuff like that. That's why I put it out there to the men of the church. And they responded immediately. There really wasn't a time lapse at all. And that's the way it should be with all things. We have a problem we can't handle, put it out there to the body of Christ. We all have different skills, we all have different knowledge, and we can help one another. But we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Paul describes the church as the body of Christ with individual members contributing to the whole. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 12:24. God has so composed the body that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It's the body of Christ. We're all part of the body. Amen? As members of Christ's body, we must, not optional, we must consider one another. We must be aware of one another. We must be willing to help one another. This is the love of Christ. We are willing to sacrifice our time, our talent, and sometimes even some of our wealth to help with the situation. We must consider one another and prompt one another, love one another, motivate one another into considering each other as servants. That's us as servants. We serve because we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we serve the body, who are we serving? We're serving Him. That's why we do it, for the love of Christ and for the love of each other. Amen?
Amen.
So we motivate each other as servants, dead to self, serving Christ in true faith. True faith. Considering one another means caring for the spiritual well-being of each other in Christ. We should at least be doing that. That's the minimum. And sometimes we have to care for the material things in life. That happens. This requires relationships in which we intentionally seek opportunities to encourage and motivate one another toward loving consideration of others. When we see a need, hey, maybe I can't meet it. I don't have the resources or whatever. What do? I turn to the body. I let others know. And then we get together and we take care of the situation as best we can. The outcome is a community It's a community of believers in Christ, a community that reflects Christ's heart of rescuing the perishing. Rescuing the perishing. How many people out there just pass up the body of Christ? They don't consider Christ because they don't get any help from us. You see, we are Christ to the world. And we have to live that way and show them that kind of love. It's not easy. It is truly a sacrifice. But we are called to that sacrifice. We are called to it. We should be reflecting the heart of Christ in rescuing the perishing. In this community, we are participants, not spectators. We need to be believers of action. Believers of action. We need to encourage and motivate each other to trust and obey Christ as we consider others. Considering others is being aware of and acting on their needs. That's how we consider others, as we wait for the return of our Lord and Savior. There's our assignment. Go and make disciples. Yes, that's how you go and make disciples. You're concerned and you interact with people. It takes time. It takes effort. Pray about it. Pray about it. Make the commitment to serve the Lord by considering others. That's the message for today. Consider one another just as Christ considered us. He had to consider us to be willing to go to the cross. So praise the Lord that He did just that. Amen?
Amen.
This is really not a message for an altar call. But if you need to talk about Jesus, if you don't know for sure that you have the salvation that He offers, please come and talk. I'm happy to talk to you. Elders are happy to talk to you. We want to make sure that you know you're secure in Christ. And so come and talk to us. But I would encourage you to make the commitment to consider others. I know many of you do already. We can do more in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, be with us now as we consider what You want from us. You want us to be saved. You want us to be in Your Son Christ. You want the Holy Spirit to be in us, because that's the only way we're going to achieve these goals that we have of considering others. We must keep our faith in You. We must fellowship with one another so that we can consider others and have the strength and the encouragement and the motivation to do what needs to be done. Lord, we are leaning on the body of Christ, Your body, to help us. We know You're there. We know the Holy Spirit's there. Help us to step out in faith and do the things that need to be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.